imagine what he could do after two lessons. If you will, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a very important verse for all of us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, important verse to you. You will understand it, I hope. The time we're done this morning. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. I have to start this morning by asking you to forgive me for some things I have done that you're not really probably aware of. I have let peripheral activity distract me, and I have taken my eyes off the focus that could have as a church family. And as you follow a leader, that leader needs to know where he's going. And for just a few weeks, I lost focus on where we need to go and what we are doing as a church family. Folks, we are a family. But we are also one other thing. We are the ministry of God in this place. And that is a very important thing. And we should never lose focus on it. So I need to ask you, forgive me. I got distracted. There's a lot that goes on in a church. And we are not, you have no reason to come here if we are not relevant. What's going on in your life? If we don't have answers, if we don't have direction, and there's been something happening that I've been aware of, and I'm sure many of you have been aware of. We've had people bringing in evil spirits into our church. There was one brought in not long ago. And when that happens, what is supposed to happen to counter it? God tells us, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That when a worldly spirit is brought in here, we should be able to counterbalance that by where we are as a people. And if we are where God wants us to be, then that evil spirit can or any of our there are verses that I have quoted, 1 Corinthians 14:40. You all know that. Let all things be done decently and in order. And that is God's way of doing things. Another one is 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Those two are two important verses. So if there is a hint of confusion, God may not be in the situation. But if there is more than a hint, if there is absolute, if you're sure that there is confusion, then God is not in it. It says he is not the author of confusion. And so we need to stay focused on what God wants. I hope you're not here by. I hope you intend to be here. Because there is a purpose here for you. For all of you. Normally, there would be enough of us walking in the Spirit that he could overcome any negative influence that might be brought in from outside. And it doesn't have to be a lost person, and I'm not trying to scare anyone or confuse anyone, but we must understand there are good spirits. Godly spirit. But in this world in which we live, there are also some. And we do not want any of those in our lives. But we cannot prevent them from coming. Even Jesus had to come. I want us all to understand how important it is that we all be right with Jesus Christ when we come here in the morning or in the evening or for any reason, that when we come here, we come to bring an offering to God. We don't come here to take. We don't come here to get, fill our pockets. That's not going to happen. And so we need to understand that we are bringing something for heaven. For the Lord Jesus Christ is an offering. It might be ourselves, but we're coming to bring and to give. Not to give. You see, it doesn't take much to quench the Holy Spirit. And this is a very important part of this. If he's not here, if he's not working, we're all wasting our time. And your time is not mine to wait. Your time is not the church's to wait. Your time belongs to you. And it's given you by God. He gives it to you for a purpose. I've been telling you 7 years. We all have a purpose. No matter what we might think of ourselves or what skills we might think we have or don't have. God has a purpose for you. Based upon our opening verse, we're trying to minister. And we must minister in the power of God. The Holy Spirit must be here. And so our attitude, the attitude that each one of us, my attitude included, needs to be right when we all come to this building. Not that the building's anything special. We can meet out in the field, out behind the gymnasium. Same thing there. We must make sure that our heart right with Jesus Christ, right with God. Now, until recently, we have been ministering in power of the Holy Spirit. He has led us to do a lot of things here on this corner. And I am so grateful to him. I'm so amazed that he would use us in some of the ways he has. that he would bless us in the ways that he is blessing us. But folks, if we don't come prepared, then we're not going to have the Holy Spirit ministering in us like he's wanting, like God wants. And so the title of the message this morning is in your bulletin, is Staying Focused. And that's what we have to think about this morning. This is what we have to deal with this morning. We have been serving successfully. And in our service, it's so easy for us to get distracted. Before you and I got saved, and I don't want to think back to those days, but before you and I got saved, we were operating in the flesh. We were doing what we wanted to do, when we wanted to do it, wherever we wanted to do it. But when Jesus Christ reached out, God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, convicted us. And we surrendered our will in order to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Then the Holy Spirit of God indwelled our heart, our soul, to help us to live for him for the rest of our lives. Now, I believe that a lot of the ministry here has been successful. I believe that a lot of the ministry that we are doing right now is what God wants us to do. But that little three-letter word, now comes the truth, after that little word, but I think that we are losing focus and doing more in our own strength than the strength of God in. I think that we have stopped walking by faith and we're walking by sight in things. And it concerns me. That's when I realized, when God showed me that we were doing that, that's when I realized, wait a minute, we're not where we're supposed to be. We're not going where we're supposed to go. Let me read a passage in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 2 through 7. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, which we all did, according to the prince of the power of the air, we were the children of the devil, not God. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and there's a lot of that going on around us, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as. But God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Not all the people sit in the sanctuary. There are those who move among us. We're still serving. They've not given their lives or their soul to Jesus. And you're either serving Jesus or you're serving the devil. There is no in between. How can I say that? When I can't see a single soul, I can't see a single heart. I don't have that capacity. Only Jesus does. Only the Holy Spirit does. Only God does. Not one of us can see the other person's. So how can I say that there might be somebody among who is not saved? Well, there's several things. One of the things is fruit. And by the way, I'm not preaching at any individual. I may have talked with you about fruitfulness. I may have talked with you about some of these things. But this is not directed at any individual. We're a family. That's I'm addressing the family. We are told. 1 John 2:15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Things that are in the world. If any man love the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in. You can't misinterpret that. You can't misunderstand that. If you're in love with the world, the love of God is not within you. That's what it says. And he goes on, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I fear that some of us may be living, trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus. That concerns me. Because it's clear if there is any love for the Lord. There are those who participate in worldly activities to satisfy their desires, their pride. Their desire for things of the world. And folks, the world doesn't have anything. It really doesn't. I think, Apostle Paul is a pretty hard person to compete with. But you think about him. He was a wealthy man. He was a Pharisee. He was a man of prestige. He was a man who of authority. He had the authority from the chief priest to go out and arrest Christians, throw them in jail, even kill them. When Stephen, the first Christian martyr, one of the first deacons, was stoned to death, Paul was there holding the coats of those who were stoning him. Even Paul gave up everything that he for Jesus. Is that too much for God to redeem us? Paul was the one, you know, John wrote about love not the world, but Paul didn't. Paul gave up everything. Jesus warned us about false prophets. And we need to be careful of what kind of people we listen to, what kind of books we read. We need to be careful of that. We had some books donated out here to the blessing box. Diana brought me those books. Said, are these okay? I looked at the authors. I wasn't familiar with them, so I needed to do some research. I did. Gave Diana the book back. We have to be careful. Why is Esther harmless? And so that's what God wants for us. We can't let the Holy Spirit quench. We've got to have him in order for us to have the power to minister. None of us have. We're just people. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We sin. We're not strong. If you think you're strong, you've got a false pride. It's called the pride of life. That's a sin. But we've got to be strong in our faith. And so David, in Psalm 71:3, made this statement, "Be thou my strong habitation." He was asking the Lord, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandments to save me, for thou art my rock." That's what we want from Jesus. We want him to be our rock, our fortress. Paul commanded the Ephesian church, "Finally, my brethren," in chapter 6, 10 and 11, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We need not forget who our enemy is. And it's not anybody built. We have an enemy, all of them, the devil. Keep in mind the admonition of Jesus as he was teaching his disciples, understanding that they were going to be the ones to carry on the church once he was gone, once he'd paid the price to redeem our souls. In Luke 9:49-50 says, "And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for that he that is not against us is." We've got a lot of friends out there. We've got a lot of brothers and sisters out there. We're not exclusive. And because they are on Jesus' side, they're on our side. The problem that affects us is that those who are not walking with God, but are living in the world, are not. There's a thing called separation that 50 or 60 years ago was preached in the church. Be separate from the world and from worldly things. And we've lost that. We think we can participate in the things of the world. But those things of the world are going to bring fear into our minds. Now, the Lord expects us to minister to the needs of the people he sends our way. I am glad for each one of you here this morning. And this is what we're trying to minister to the needs of your soul. Now, I can't do a thing, but God's Holy Spirit can. And I pray that he is here working among us. I pray that when you have attended one of our services and you leave, that you feel the Holy Spirit has ministered to you. He has touched your heart.
He has given you something that you're going to need for this week to come. We had a vision not too long ago, and I want us to return to that vision where we are linked arm in arm with our brothers and sisters, making sure nobody gets left behind, irregardless of where they are in Jesus Christ. If they're a newborn babe, or if they're a mature adult, we want to be arm in arm. That as a church family, we go where God wants us to go. And that's the thing that I let my focus get off from. And we need to relink those. We need to love each other. We do. But enough that we're not willing to let anybody get left behind. That everybody gets taken where God wants. We need, and each one of you need to do the same thing. Not just my job, not the deacon's job, but it's each one of your jobs. We need to evaluate every aspect of this ministry. Why are we doing it? What are we doing? And if there is something we're doing, we don't have from here, then we need to stop doing it. And we need to find what God wants for us out of this book we call the Bible. We should, all of us, should be reading it every day. Some part of it, including the Old Testament. Those of you coming on Wednesday night, you know how important the minor prophet. I think I actually heard a yes. Because what the minor prophets dealt with 2,500 years ago or more, you and I are dealing with today, right here in the United States of America. Every aspect of our ministry needs to be evaluated to see if it's in compliance with God's will for. It's not about people. It's about me. That's who God wants to minister. That's also who's responsible to God. You are. For your actions, for your activity. For what you're doing. We need to understand that when we seek counsel, we seek it from somebody else who knows God, Jesus Christ as Savior, that we get it from God and from His Holy Spirit. This is really the place for each of us as an individual to get counsel. And if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you can't say, "Well, I don't understand it." Talk to the Holy Spirit. That's what He's there for. He's there to teach you. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to get a comforter to come in. He's going to teach you whatsoever I have taught you. And He will. Oh, it might take a little while. But He will. Well, let's just stop for a minute and consider what our proper response should be toward those who are not saved among us. We are not to judge. We are not to judge. None of us can see each other's heart. But Jesus told His disciples in Matthew 7, on the mount, 17 through 20. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall. Now, a lot of folks might think, well, I do this or I do that. That's work. That's work. Fruit is no good as long as it's on the tree. You go up to an orange tree and you look at it, and I like oranges. I like the navel. And you go up to an orange tree and you look at that orange tree and it's loaded with oranges. It's not going to do you one bit of good to stand there and look. Not until you separate the fruit from the tree. I love ruby red grapefruit. Some of them you can peel. You know, the peeling just comes off. You get the wedges. Juicy, I mean. But as long as you stand there and look at that tree and that grapefruit is on that tree, it's not going to do anybody any good. But once that fruit is separated from the tree, then people can. And that's what fruit is supposed to be. Things that we can give others, such as the Lord Jesus Christ, such as a knowledge of who he is and what he is doing in people's lives. Then it's separated. Then it's ready to be enjoyed, to be a benefit. Well, we can keep all the fruit here among ourselves and distribute it to everybody. It doesn't benefit anything. We need to get that fruit out into the community. And we need to think about it. God introduces you to somebody every week that needs to hear this. Every week. If not, every day. I don't know, you know, what your schedule is, how much you move around. But God has people he wants you to tell about Jesus Christ. And that will produce some fruit because you're taking it off the tree and you're giving it up. This statement by Jesus brings up a question. How do we know if fruit is really good or is it evil? And it's very important that we answer this question correctly. What do we know about God's will? What do we know about God's will? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to. There you have the answer. What is God? You can't make anybody repent. I can't even force myself to repent. That has to come through God's Holy Spirit. That's a part of his ministry. He convicts us. And then he helps us to repent, to turn away. He gives us the strength. Remember what Jesus said before he departed when he gave us the Great Commission? Verse 18 of Matthew 28. All power is given unto me. All power. Go ye therefore. we cannot go. No matter how successful we've been in the past, we can't go in our own strength. I'm not being critical of anybody, right? We all have jobs we do around the church. Why do we do them? The motive is important. Why do we do them? Jimmy sends me the bulletin on Wednesday or Thursday. And sometimes when I don't get the information to him, it's Friday. That's not his fault. So I print it. I get it on an email. I print it in my office. And I thought to myself, just this week, Friday or Thursday when I was running it, why am I running the bulletin? Good question. Why was I running the bulletin? Because it's got to be done. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Because this is what God has given me to do right now. That's the right answer. I was running it for the wrong answer. We get into routine. We are successful. And suddenly we revert back to what we were before we were saved. We're doing things in our own wisdom. Rather than by the leading of God's Holy Spirit. We need to reform. There's no one here who doesn't need to do that. I don't care if you're 7 or 70. We need to refocus and make sure that the things we're doing are because God to do that or the Holy Spirit. Every activity that has nothing to do with God's will goes against the purpose of God. That's hard. Why are you doing that? Have you lost? Like I, we're trying to put in a new computer. I'm thinking about that. I'm having to order equipment for my wife. I don't have family. She does. I like spending money. She spent a lot. But see, I took my focus off what we need. And I would ask you, I would literally ask you, I'm going to try and not make that mistake. Your flesh may not like what I have just said about working in your own strength. But we need to be working in the strength of God. And he's going to help us to love each other. He's going to help us to accomplish more. And this brings us back to what has happened to us lately. We've stopped following the Holy Spirit for all of the things that we do, just a few. We must operate within the power of God's Holy Spirit, not our own. we need to ask the question, does the Spirit want me to do this right now? Does the Spirit want me to do this? I love all of you. I hope you know that. I hope you know that when I give you a hug, I do. I love all of you. And I want to see you do what the Lord wants you to do. I've tried to refocus my vision upon the things of the Lord in our church family. Would you consider doing the same? Refocusing your vision as to what the Lord wants from you pertaining to the church family. When you come to services or when you come to church activities, will you bring the Holy Spirit with you? Prepared to give. And if you're disturbed by someone or something going on in ministry, will you tell me or one of the deacons, let them know so we can take corrective action if it's possible? Please don't wait till something goes wrong. Say that again. This is what this ministry is built upon. This is the heart. If you see something going on that is wrong, let somebody know. Please don't, not no gossip. Oh, we saw so-and-so doing this. No, nothing like that. If it's disturbed, if it's cutting you off from God, if it's cutting you off from God's Holy Spirit, then let me know. Don't wait until something goes wrong. If we meet and the Holy Spirit is quenched, we have peace out. We want God's Spirit to be here in every service. And we want Him to be free to work in our heart for everything we do. We have no power except what is given by God. Our opening verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound. Father, we need you. We need you in so many different ways. And it's our prayer, our petition to you, that your Holy Spirit will have free reign here. Father, that we will understand and receive his vision for this ministry, for each individual within this. Thank you for all the folks you sent this morning. We ask that your Holy Spirit may have freedom in each heart, each soul, to do your will, your way. Father, we will praise you. We will love you. If you will help us be what to be, fulfill the purpose for which you placed. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. May your will be done. And we will pray for what you do. Get in.